Of the tournament is here.
Hail, hail to Michigan. The Wolverines are on to the Final Four.
We're getting you set for all this weekend's college hoops action.
Pacheco, big to go.
Pete packs one down. Illinois is going to the Final Four.
This is You Better You Bet Countdown to Tip-Off, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Caravan, 2 seconds. Mullins tosses it out. Oh! It's good!
Here's Nick Kostos and the big noise, Brad Evans.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry Final Four Saturday in the NCAA tournament to you and yours. It is You Better You Bet's Countdown to Tip-Off with the aforementioned Nick Kostos, Illini superfan Brad Evans, and you on Westwood One Sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. We started with 68, and we are now down to 4. Tonight, UConn and Illinois, Arizona and Michigan for the right to play in Monday night's national championship game in Indianapolis. Oh, baby! Brad Evans is with me. Brad, happy Final Four Saturday, my friend. Hola, mi amigo.
Hola, mi amigo! One of the greatest weekends on the sports calendar every damn year, and it's entirely special for me because my Fighting Illini haven't been in the Final Four. The last time was 2005. I had amazing hair in 2005, Nick Kostos. It was long. It was flowing. The ladies were lining up. It was amazing. It really was legendary. And you know, that was the last time Illinois made the Final Four in 2005, and only the second time they made the Final Four on this run in 36 years. You could say it's been a minute. So, you know, the atmosphere in Indianapolis was off the hook. The ILL kicking things off tonight against UConn in a rematch. We're going to break it all down on the show today. And we got some amazing guests lined up as well. Can't wait.
Yeah, the guest that will be joining us, Kevin Kugler, the play-by-play voice of the Final Four in the National Championship on Westwood One, about 20 minutes from now. Randolph Childress, former Wake Forest Demon Deacon, and does a great job for our friends at the Field of 68 next hour. And Mike DeCourcy from Fox Sports, the Sporting News, and Big Ten Network next hour as well. All our bets will close the show. And not to, you know, bring up bad memories, but 1989, Illinois, Final Four, losing to Michigan.
Michigan.
Maybe we get that on Monday night. We shall see. And then, of course, 2005, the big comeback by Darren Williams and Luther Head and D. Brown and Bruce Weber and the Illini tying the game at 70 at North Carolina, only to fall 5 points short to Sean May, Roy Williams, and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Sorry for bringing that up.
Thank you.
I thought it was awesome. I had North Carolina winning my bracket that year back in 2005. So we will break down Illinois and UConn. We will break down Arizona, Michigan, a true heavyweight clash. We got a lot we have to do here in this opening segment. We've got news we've got to hit in the world of college basketball. We will get into momentarily Gino Auriemma embarrassing himself last night, where I can't believe we're saying this, Brad Evans. Danny Hurley might be the more composed of the two UConn coaches in the Final Four after what we saw last night from Gino Auriemma. But let's start with this, my man, because you were lucky enough to spend a couple days in Indianapolis this week. Obviously, the site of the Final Four and the national championship game. What was the vibe like the last couple days in Indy ahead of these games?
Yeah, as you can tell, you can probably see it on my face. I haven't shaved in like 72 hours. I'm a bit haggard. The bags under the eyes have migrated further south on my face. It was a good time, I will tell you that. Indianapolis is a phenomenal host city because the Circle City, it's like a giant square. Everything is within walking distance, bars, restaurants, the Lucas Oil Stadium where the action's taking place. The convention center is right downtown as well. And they're all within like 5 to 10 minutes of each other by foot. A lot of hotels down there. It's just phenomenal. It really is. 21 Pilots played a free concert downtown last night. That absolutely kicked some ass. It's just a top-notch host city, and I've talked to a number of people in the industry, the Field of 68. They all said Indianapolis is bar none, number one in terms of host city because everything is centrally located based on the overall design. So on Thursday, it was a bit of a pin drop when I arrived. well into the evening as well. And not that many people hadn't really swelled with humanity yet. Then last night and yesterday, oh my goodness, was it off the chain. I got all kinds of fans all over the place, orange and blue, populating the streets, as you know, should be expected. Illinois on the campus, only an hour and 50 minutes west of Indy, and a lot of Michigan fans as well, as Ann Arbor ain't too far away either. Peppering of UConn fans here and there, peppering of Arizona fans here and there, a little bit more of a time commitment and travel commitment for those fine universities. But the buzz was palpable. I attended practice yesterday for Illinois. Costos, over 17,000 fans showed up for a practice. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice. And by the way, State Farm Center, where Illinois plays their home games, capacity is 15,400. It was more than a sellout in the lower bowl there of Lucas Oil Stadium. So a lot of ILLs, a lot of INIs. It was just an amazing atmosphere. And again, an amazing host city. So the vibes, I'm still feeling them right now. And a few of those drinks I had with the Field of 68 guys.
God bless you. I'm happy that you had a great time. And just from my time going to scouting combines and Super Bowls and Final Fours, Indianapolis is a tremendous, tremendous host city. So yes. Indianapolis will host the Final Four on the men's side coming up later tonight. You know, we saw last night the women's Final Four, Brad, in Phoenix. And the UConn men were small underdogs today against Illinois. We'll get to that game, obviously. The UConn women entered the NCAA tournament undefeated. Entered the Final Four undefeated at 38-0, and were a pretty sizable favorite last night over South Carolina, the Lady Gamecocks, coached by the legendary Dawn Staley. South Carolina pulls the upset, kind of like throttles UConn, who can't score at all. UConn loses the game 62-48. Now, midway through the game, Gina Wariema, the legendary coach of UConn women's basketball, is doing an interview with Holly Rowe on the sideline for ESPN, right, during the game. And he's complaining about the officiating and that his team's not getting any calls and how physical South Carolina is being with UConn. So he's already complaining during the game because he's seeing the season slip away. And you can understand, right? It's human nature. Like, you're going to lose. You feel like you're going to lose. You came in undefeated. I can certainly understand someone being a little salty. But after the game is where this turns into a big national story, because yep. Gino and Dawn Staley get into it after the game when they're doing their handshake or lack of a handshake. And Gina Wariema steps to the post-game press conference and says this to the assembled media.
Dawn said post-game that the exchange had something to do with her not shaking your hand pre-game. Is that what you said to her post-game? And do you have any regrets about the way you handled that exchange with her and your communication about her to Holly Rowe in the fourth quarter?
I don't have any regrets about what I said to Holly Rowe. Why would I? Why would I? I've been coaching a long time. I've never had a kid have to change their jersey because somebody ripped it and the official said I didn't see it. There are a lot of things that happen in that game. Unless you're on that sideline, you have no idea what's happening on that sideline. I mean, for 41 years I've been coaching and I've been, I don't know, 30, 25 Final Fours. And the protocol is, before the game, you meet at half court. Anybody ever see that before? Two coaches meet at half court and they shake hands. Correct? You ever see it? They announce it on the loudspeaker. And I waited there for like 3 minutes. So it is what it is.
Pretty salty from Gina Wariema. Brad Evans, your thoughts on Gino and the way he conducted himself postgame?
Class A jerk, really. And I, you know, went back and watched the interview with Holly Rowe, and I thought there was a key quote at the end of it. He said, "Their coach rants and raves on the sideline and calls a referee some names you don't want to hear."
Who cares?
I mean, the angst. Yeah, exactly. The angst has built up. He was pointing during that interview with Holly Rowe back at the South Carolina bench, you know, in Dawn Staley's general direction. I love Dawn Staley's comments. She goes, "I have integrity." Integrity. She said that post game.
Are you a lip reader, by the way? Did you? Because if you lip read, you could see her saying, "I will whip Gino's ass." Said it twice, like in the midst of this confrontation after it had happened, right? And as South Carolina celebrating.
And I think the odds on her kicking Gino's ass, like minus 10,000. I mean, seriously, she would absolutely scrape. Absolutely scrape Gino. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You gotta win graciously. You gotta lose graciously. I know it was a heated matchup. And I know there was a lot of body blows exchanged by both teams, a low scoring, slog it out kind of affair, but show some damn respect, not only for your opponent, but for the game itself. Geno, again, did himself such a terrible disservice to his legendary status as a head coach, one of the all-time greats, if not the greatest women's coach in history. Show some damn tact in those moments. And I know everybody gets their underwear in a bunch a little bit about certain things as the course of the game goes on. But after you exhale and you have that post-game moment, you go back and the reporter gave him a chance, you know, to be like, do you regret? No, I don't regret. So, again, he just is very disrespectful in that moment. And I think he's going to sorely regret it because there's going to be monstrous repercussions from this behind the scenes.
Like, what repercussions are there going to? What are you talking about?
Behind the scenes. I think people are going to look at him and they're going to be like, do I want my kid to go play for Geno? Maybe some people would.
It's like, stop it. He's won a million national championships. They're in the Final Four. They won the national championship. Of course, the kids are still going to go play for UConn. Of course.
Well, if Dawn Staley comes and knocks on the door, is she going to be a better seller of a program?
She's great, too. There's no question. There are, like, Kim Mulkey's great. There's lots of great women's coaching programs. And look, like, we could split the difference here. He did not conduct himself well. And look, I want to win. Brad wants to win. Hopefully you, the listener, the viewer, you want to win. You can certainly understand being upset when you lose, and especially to lose like that. But, I mean, to turn it into, oh, my kid didn't shake my hand. Like, stop it. Stop the pearl clutching. Like, enough. I will agree with one thing you said. I think he'll probably regret it in the days to come and the way he conducted himself. So, South Carolina, UCLA will play for the women's national championship. We will know at the end of tonight who will play for the men's championship on Monday night. You better, you bet. Countdown to tip-off, Final Four Saturday, Westwood One Sports, Nick Costos, Brad Evans, and you. Couple other news items to hit, Brad, in the world of college hoops before we get to our breakdowns of the games. How about the report circulating from the Sports Business Journal and Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports that we are going to see in short order, potentially, the NCAA tournament expand to 76 teams, from 68 to 76. Now, this is not official yet, but it does feel like, based on the reporting, Brad, that there is momentum towards this happening. You are a college basketball diehard, a purist. What is Brad Evans' opinion on tournament expansion, which right now feels more likely than unlikely?
Okay, me as a bracketologist, it's going to add more work to my load. I'm not really complaining about that. I'm not really thrilled, though, with the overall expansion because I like my bracket symmetrical, and this is going to make the bracket then asymmetrical. It's going to possibly have great alterations and various pools that we all play in. And really, what makes the NCAA tournament so damn popular is because everybody's filling out a single sheet bracket. Now, you could say, okay, there's workarounds for this, just like the play-ins. There's a workaround for now. You could select one of the play-in teams, whoever gets in the field of 64. When it is finalized, and that's essentially what's going to happen. You're going to have whoever wins the play-in on the couple lines that they're at. But the other side of the coin, so that's part of me, I like to bet on basketball, and it just gives me more opportunities. Gives me more opportunities as a fan of basketball to watch some horrendous teams who are terribly bland and mediocre in the regular season get some additional opportunities to maybe recast themselves in a better light. I think it does reward mediocrity. I don't like that idea of it. But as a basketball junkie, now knowing that there's going to be probably day games on Tuesday and day games on Wednesday in advance of the main slate on Thursday, I'm totally for it. But again, the other side of things, part of my brain is like, again, I like things neat and organized. One sheet, Costos. Why are they ruining a damn good thing? So I'm a little bit split on this front. I'll take it either way, but bar none, I think it's slightly dumb, to say the least. But it's all about money.
I'm actually surprised that there are so many sports fans that don't like this. And I like to think that sometimes, and I want to be self-aware enough to know that I don't speak for everybody, right? But I'm a diehard sports fan, and I have been literally since I was like 6-7 years old. And I've been watching the NCAA tournament every year since 1990. And yes, like you can say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I understand that, and the tournament's always been great. I kind of think it always will be great. And where I will default here, Brad, and yes, you're right, like I like to bet on games also. I love when there's more games. Just as a fan, I don't know where the complaint comes from that there's more stuff, more games, more storylines. And look, like, there will just be, and we see this in college football with the expansion of the playoff, there will always be drama at the end of the year as like, who's getting in. Like, this year, the debate wouldn't have been Auburn, right? Auburn would have been in the field of 76, right, this year. But there would have been a couple other teams. Like, are they going to get into the tournament or not? So there will always be that drama. I just don't understand, I guess, where if you are a sports fan, right, and that is your primary, like, that's what you love. You like it more than bets. You like it more than brackets. You just love sports. Why would you dislike this? More games, more stuff to talk about. That's kind of where, Brett, I think a lot of people lose me with this debate. I like the tournament expansion. I say, give me more teams. Why stop at 76? I love the tournament. Let's make it as big and bold and beautiful as possible.
And one of the other positive takeaways of this, I will say this too, maybe, just maybe, and I pray this will be the case with the selection committee in this expansion era, assuming everything is going to be solidified there in concrete, and I think it's going to happen here in short order. Possibly this is a win for the mid-major leagues. Right? The Belmonts of the world. Some of those teams, we saw Miami, Ohio barely get in. Of course, they won a playing game. It was magical there at the University of Dayton Arena. Maybe we're going to get more stories like that. I hope that is the case because I don't want more Auburns getting in. Teams that had, what, 15 regular season losses, 16 actually regular season losses, and rewarding that mediocrity. I want the high quality mid-major teams to get additional opportunities, and this could finally be their chance if the committee does the right thing.
But don't you, like, I'm smiling right now. Like, don't you see what's happening here already? Like, there will never not be debates and never not be drama. We just shift what the drama is. Because I'm sure there are a lot of people, Brad, that agree with you. And, like, Miami of Ohio made the tournament, right? But let's say that you know, they didn't make it this year, right? Now it's turns into, like, Miami of Ohio needs to be in the field of 76. Is it Miami of Ohio or Auburn? Now this can be the debate, right? Is it the mediocre power conference team, or is it the great team in the mid-major that, for whatever reason, doesn't win its conference tournament and doesn't get a bid? Like, it's just, the drama's just going to shift. The conversation's going to shift. It's not going to go away. I think it's still going to be absolutely delicious. I love this. My only complaint, I want more than 76 teams. Final note here in this segment, Brad. Final note in this segment, and we'll get to Illinois-UConn later this hour, Arizona-Michigan next hour. You know, Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd said earlier this week that he's not a good multitasker and that he's not focused on the North Carolina coaching job, only on his team in the Final Four. And he and Arizona literally put their money where their mouth is. Lloyd signing an extension to remain at Arizona, so he will not be the next head coach, Brad, at North Carolina. And that leaves, if you believe the reporting from CBS Sports' Matt Norlander and others, that there are two main candidates left for that job in Chapel Hill: Michigan coach Dusty May, who's going against Tommy Lloyd tonight, and Chicago Bulls head coach, former Florida head coach, Billy Donovan. Your thoughts on Tommy Lloyd remaining at Arizona?
Yeah, I think it's the right move for Tommy Lloyd, and I know he had a falling out with the athletic director, but the silver lining in that deal is he doesn't have to report to that AD anymore. So he's getting his cake and his eating it too. He took less dollars than what North Carolina was likely going to offer him, and he offers stability and continuity on an already great program with a rich basketball history. And he might say, well, it ain't North Carolina. Well, maybe he likes the desert lifestyle. Maybe he likes warm and fuzzy winters. Compared to a little bit of that chill that infiltrates and impacts the Eastern Seaboard and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I understand that. I think it's the right move for Tommy Lloyd. He eliminates any kind of distraction right before the most important game of his entire coaching career. Of course, taking on Michigan later today and possibly winning a national title as well for the first time in eons left of the Continental Divide. So good move by Tommy Lloyd. And then meanwhile, you know, Billy Donovan, I think it's going to entertain this. I mean, the Bulls just, you want to talk about mediocrity. They live in it. They immerse in it. And, You know, can he get back to playing and getting his teams playing at a very high level when he was initially a college basketball coach? That was an eternity ago. Now we got NIL. Now we got the transfer portal. We're probably over 1,000 names when it's all said and done are going to be in it. It is a different world. It is a wild, wild west compared to the NBA. That brings added responsibilities. That brings added headaches. Is that going to be attractive enough for Billy Donovan to leave a cushier NBA job, though you have the basketball clout and history and pedigree of North Carolina? Could be too enticing. I don't think Dusty May is going anywhere. That's my gut feeling. I think he's going to stay at Michigan. You know, if Indiana opened up, could he go to Indiana? He's got roots there. That's a possibility because there could be, you know, all kinds of money involved that's thrown about. Mark Byington's another name from Vanderbilt. I think it's going to be the conversation for the North Carolina job. But here's what's crazy, Nick, is that Carolina is not getting their guys top of the list, in my opinion. They're going down to like 3, 4, 5. At what point are you saying, why are people passing on this gig? Is it Bubba Cunningham, the AD there? What's the deal with North Carolina not getting the la creme de la creme in the coaching ranks?
We will get to full breakdown, full preview of Illinois and UConn later this hour. Arizona, Michigan next hour. All our bets will close the show. Great guests along the way. And the first of those great guests will join us on the other side, and that will be the play-by-play voice of the Final Four and the national championship game on Westwood One. The great Kevin Kugler joins Nick Kostos and Brad Evans next. Countdown to tip-off here on Final Four Saturday, presented by BetMGM.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet Countdown to Tip-Off, presented by BetMGM.